you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Offsides. I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we're so excited you joined us for yet another week here at the Offsides Podcast. We're going to get started. So, Andrew, what do we have in store for us this week in sports?
It's something that I'm very personally excited about, the CONCACAF Championship game, which is a soccer game, and it's the USA's qualifying group. So USA, Mexico, Canada, Honduras, all kind of North American, South American teams compete for this championship that has implications on who will make it to the World Cup, the biggest sporting event in the world, the biggest game and tournament for soccer players, soccer fans. That championship game is going to be held in Las Vegas.
Ooh, that's so exciting.
Exactly. Dual exciting here for me as a big U.S. soccer fan and as someone who lives and loves Las Vegas. I also think it's exciting for soccer fans around the world and around the country to have an opportunity to come to Las Vegas, experience Las Vegas. It will be held at the end of this summer. I think the weather at that point, it'll still be hot, but it shouldn't be too hot. People should come out and have a great time. So I think it's going to be an extremely successful event. It'll be the first soccer match that's hosted at Allegiant Stadium.
Ooh.
So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like and if it's a success, because moving forward, I think a lot of big events, World Cup games, things of that nature could be hosted at Allegiant Stadium. Las Vegas didn't make the final list for the cities that they're going to host the World Cup at. The World Cup will be here in a couple years. But the game will take place on August 1st. Okay. Like I said, the end of the summer. It'll be one day after the stadium's anniversary of 1 year of opening.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
But, I mean, we've already seen UNLV play there. The Las Vegas Raiders obviously play there. There'll be many more events before that. It's going to be such a great concert venue, but I really think there are a lot of soccer fans in Las Vegas already, and a lot of people, we've seen it with the Golden Knights, fans want to travel here and experience games here. So yes. I think that'll be really cool.
I think it's becoming quite a big sports city and town. You know, they were supposed to host the NFL draft with everything going on. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but I did see the prospects and how they were going to lay everything out and what it was going to happen. It was going to happen in front of the Bellagio on the waters, which if you don't know what that is, I would definitely Google it and check it out. It's beautiful and they have the dancing waters. Celine Dion has sang across it. It's absolutely gorgeous, and it was cool. They were going to build like kind of like a Jesus moment where they were walking across the water when they were accepting, you know, their jerseys and things like that. So hopefully we'll get another bid for that and maybe a Super Bowl before the World Cup. I think that would warm up Allegiant Stadium just a bit, and I think that's something really exciting for the city of Las Vegas, and I'm intrigued to see what happens.
Yeah, we've got Super Bowls and All-Star games coming here for sure. I mean, even outside of just Allegiant Stadium, T-Mobile I see being utilized for that. We already host many collegiate basketball tournaments.
Yes.
We host USA basketball. We host the NBA Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas is definitely a sports market that people want to come to. So I think this game's going to be extremely successful. And my biggest hope is just that USA is playing in the final, because that really would just make it so much better and there would be so much more excitement and buzz there already.
Well, I do have a question. So let's say I am on a date and I want to impress my date. How many teams are going to be playing in this tournament?
It's a pretty big tournament, okay. And there's a lot of qualifying that goes into it.
Okay.
The CONCACAF group, like I said, encompasses both North America, South America. There's the big teams, Mexico, Canada,
so it's countries.
United States, Honduras. Yes, so this is all countries. This is all your national teams. But there's also like Trinidad and Tobago, a lot of smaller countries like that.
Okay.
Costa Rica is also in our group. So it's a wide collection of national teams that will come together, compete in this tournament, but only the championship game will be hosted here in Las Vegas.
Oh, I thought the entire tournament was going to be hosted in Vegas. Okay, so that's a good clarification. So only the final round of, you know, the two teams will play here in Vegas. Now, where is all of the other tournaments being played?
It takes place in many different cities. So,
wow. Yeah. Are they going to do that with COVID and everything?
Yeah, they'll be able to do it. I'm sure they'll find ways to, you know, limit exposure. Players will definitely be tested. But even during the World Cup, the World Cup is hosted typically in one country. Actually, mm-hmm. when it's going to be in the U.S., U.S., Mexico, and Canada all went in together and put a bid. So it'll be hosted across the three countries.
Okay.
But let's use Germany, for example. The year the World Cup was hosted in Germany,
mm-hmm.
the games are played in multiple cities throughout
in
Germany.
The country. Okay.
Exactly. So
okay.
big tournaments like this, there's games spread all over the country wherever it's being hosted.
Very nice. I look forward to seeing how that happens. And hopefully maybe we could go and watch it here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium.
Oh, I'll be there for sure. I'm very excited about that. But we talked about how the USA's bid isn't very traditional because they're going in with two other countries in Mexico and Canada. Something that I think might become more mainstream in sports, but right now is kind of non-traditional. Players have become more aware of money management, making investments, and also taking a dive into the world of Bitcoin is something that has become a little more common.
Yes.
There's a player, Russell Okung. He was a free agent, but when he played with the Carolina Panthers, he asked them that half of his salary be paid in Bitcoin. He had a $13 million salary, so he asked that $6.5 million be paid to him in Bitcoin. The Carolina Panthers agreed, and he was the first major American sports athlete to be compensated in cryptocurrency. At the end of the season, that $6.5 million had a 118% increase and is now worth an estimated $14.1 million, which put him into a whole nother, like, grouping in the NFL of, like, highest paid players. He went from, you know, being in the middle of the pack, this, and made a big jump. So I think with something like that, you'll see a lot of other players that are like, hey, maybe this is something that we should do as well.
I think that's a good point. However, you have to be careful because it's kind of a tricky and slippery slope getting into cryptocurrency and making sure that A, you have the right people managing it, or B, you know how to manage your own, because you know, you never know what could happen. So I think it's great that this is, you know, he made so much money, but also there's the flip side of like, you really don't know. And a lot of it's like uncontrollable. So I'm intrigued to see if more people will follow suit and follow after him and do that because he was so successful. But then also, what if they're not as successful? Are they going to blame him, you know, or be like, I want to, you know, create my own, you know, management, or, you know, if it was him doing it. So I think that's a very interesting topic you bring up.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you know, an NFL and NBA player is blessed with is they have resources at their disposal to help them with this, help them manage it. And like I said, he also had $6.5 million to play around with. He had $6.5 million to invest, but he also knew he had $6.5 million to fall back on. But it seems like the NBA players really have been smart with their investments. And not in something like Bitcoin, something more traditional. But in the space of Bitcoin, Kevin Durant and his business partner recently invested in Coinbase. And it was valued at $1.6 billion when they invested.
Mm-hmm.
Coinbase just went public. And is an estimated $100 billion valuation. So that was an increase, I mean, from 1.6 to 100 billion. So, I mean, Kevin Durant on that investment is getting a ridiculous return, but maybe someone that's done the best investing their money and someone that's so high profile, someone that already has so much money that he could be content with, though, is LeBron. LeBron left his McDonald's endorsement at a time, and his McDonald's endorsement was worth $15 million. He walked away from that, left that on the table to invest in Blaze Pizza. LeBron's very involved in Blaze Pizza, which is one of the fastest growing restaurant chains ever, honestly. And it is now, that investment by LeBron has soared from $1 million. That's the investment LeBron made, $1 million. To $25 million.
Oh my gosh.
He also has a 2% stake in Liverpool, which is a soccer team in England. And when he invested in 2011, he invested $6.5 million. That investment is now worth $43 million.
Oh my goodness, 43?
Yeah, but his best investment, we haven't even gotten to it yet, was probably his investment in Beats by Dre. And it was initially assumed that LeBron had a small stake in the company, would probably land a $30 million payout when Apple bought Beats in 2014. But it was later confirmed that LeBron was a silent investor. He had more stake than people thought. And LeBron was paid out in 2014 when Apple bought Beats by Dre. Do you have a guess? People thought that he would get about a $30 million payout.
Okay, wait. Can you repeat the statistics? So he's invested in Beats by Dre. How much money did he put in?
I'm not positive the number that he put in, but he was a silent investor, so he had more in it than people thought.
So you're asking me how much did he put in, or you're asking me how much did he get out?
How much did he get when Apple bought Beats by Dre? It was estimated that he would get about $30 million.
I'm going to say $55 million.
You're right. The number was higher than $30 million, but he actually made $700 million before tax when Apple bought Beats by Dre.
What? $700 million?
That, I can't even fathom that number. Honestly, I can't even guess what $700 million even looks like.
I don't even know.
It's absolutely ridiculous, but players are becoming so much more aware of, you know, investments, and that is such an important part of growing your wealth and setting yourself up for success when you're out of the league, when you can no longer play.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you ever play the stock market? I know apps like Robinhood, things of that nature have become popular. Have you ever played around with it?
I have a little bit. I got a little into it during quarantine and watching it. There's a few things that I've invested in here and there. I would like to be more educated, and I think it's extremely important to know what you're doing and everything. So I think I'm going to educate myself more and learn more and hopefully invest in it. I think it's a really cool tool to have and interesting topic to talk about people with.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely people that can talk your ear off for a long time. There's definitely people that have no interest, and there's other people like yourself that are so open to learning more and have a desire to want to understand how it works and how to best, you know, manage their money and keep growing their money and let their money make money for them. But I think it's going to be interesting to see moving forward. I think we will see a lot more players that want to be paid in cryptocurrency. But that's enough. That's what I've got for the sports world. What's the latest in pop culture? Bring us up to date.
All right, I got a couple topics, you know, going on in pop culture. This one's actually really interesting. You know former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler?
Yeah, quarterback turned reality TV star.
Yeah, he's actually quite funny. I think he's funny on Instagram and social media. He's a good guy. So he was married to Kristen Cavalier, who is an entrepreneur, mother, was on reality TV herself. They have three children together. They just got in trouble recently. They are being sued from a person who claims their dog bit him. And it's this whole debacle of, well, we don't know, and who bit who, and, you know, it's a very slippery slope when someone puts that accusation out there, and especially this person who was suing them for quite a lot of money, and on top of that, you know, all the damages and things like that, and it always makes me curious, like, do people really, especially celebrities with their dogs, like, how do they manage all of it? You know, some of them have big dogs. Some of them have small dogs. Some of them are there for protection. Some of them there just to look cute in a bag and dress up. So I will see. This is very interesting to see how this goes. And it was a German Shepherd. They have two of them on their property. And so I'm intrigued to see what happens after this and if they find out in court what really happened with this supposed dog biting situation.
It's funny to me because, I mean, this is something that any person has whenever you have a dog. You know, you have to learn its tendencies, when it's comfortable, when it's not.
Of course.
But this seems pretty obvious. Like, did the dog bite you or no? It's pretty clear if you have a dog bite on your body. Like, so I think it's funny how these things kind of blow up. But also, there's been a lot of dog incidents lately with this and Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of dog incidents. So, make sure you know your dog's personality and where not to take it and where to take it.
Well, not only that, like, especially if it's on your property too, like, it needs to be fenced or leashed or not roaming, especially if other people come in. And I've actually just watched a recent Netflix show, Canine Intervention, and it's a guy in Northern California in the Bay Area where he's a famous dog trainer. He trains Steph Curry's dog, and it's very interesting, his techniques and things like that. So I always wonder what goes on with that and how people train their dogs and their purposes. But this will be interesting to see how it plays out. I think it's a high-profile case because of the two people involved. So I'm intrigued to see what happens, and hopefully all ends well for all parties included. But moving forward, we do have some big news in the Bachelor world. Do you remember the Bachelor, Colton Underwood?
I think I do, actually. Colton made a lot of headlines. I think there was a lot of Twitter memes. I have to admit, I don't watch The Bachelor religiously like a lot of people, but I do see a lot of stuff on social media. He's the one that jumped over the wall, correct?
Yes, he was so crazy in love. He jumped over the wall for her. Cassie ended the season quicker than everybody thought. The most dramatic season yet, as they always say. He had some issues. They did not get engaged at the end of the season. They were dating, and then they had broken up, and things did not end well. And then, now, he gave a statement to the public and on Good Morning America that he has recently come out as gay. And he's gotten a lot of positive feedback with that. People from the Bachelor Nation, people from all over in, you know, pop culture and society. So I'm intrigued to see. I know you showed me a clip of someone commending him for coming out and being brave. So I'm intrigued to see how this happens. And I'm so happy that he's able to live his truth and be happy and comfortable in his real, you know, skin and authenticity.
Yeah, it's obviously very cool when someone feels comfortable enough to fully accept who they are,
yes,
open up to, I mean, someone that's in the public eye so much, open up to the world, per se. But I think, yeah, it's just really cool, but it's definitely a hard thing to do when you were on a show where you date 20 plus women all at the same time. But I think it's, yeah, something that he handled very well. I saw the interview on Good Morning America. He definitely did things on his own term, was able to tell the story that he wanted to tell,
mm-hmm,
was able to explain how he's felt, how he's gotten to this point. So definitely just so cool when someone's able to fully be their authentic self. And obviously, in that moment, it's hard, and we talk a lot about conversation starters, having discussions. That's a very tough discussion to have, to bring up, to, you know, there's going to be backlash, you know, there's going to be support.
Yeah, positive and negative.
So definitely lots of kudos there for him in such a public eye, and knowing why he became so popular. Like I said, on a show that is very much, you are very into all of these women. Very cool that he was able to do that.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see what the future holds for him. I know he's a retired NFL player. So it's interesting to see all the different worlds that he has crossed, and hopefully that helps, you know, someone else in that situation. Like you said, it's a tough conversation to have, but being able to be open and honest and listening to someone and just letting them know that they're heard, I think is extremely important. And I think you could see that in his face in his interview, knowing that, like, a sigh of relief. And like, if a friend or a coworker or a family member needs to come to you and talk to you, just being there and just listening and say, I'm here, I'm willing to listen to you, what would you like to say? And I think that's something everyone should, you know, just working on listening and like having that open and honest conversation regardless of what they're going to tell you, and just helping them feel like understood and heard.
Yeah, definitely. On your listening point, and I think this is important in any relationship, whether it be with a partner, with parents, with coworkers, listen first to understand, not just to respond. I think a lot of times, and I mean, I think we're all guilty of it, you listen and you're listening to someone, and while you're listening, you're thinking, okay, what am I going to say back to that? Or what do I want to get in? Mm-hmm. Take a moment to just listen and understand what's being said to you, especially when it's such a serious conversation, something like this.
Yes, I think that brings up a really good point. You know, people come and listen to us for topics and discussions, but sometimes just the word listening and just to hear them out and to like not respond is something really important, and important for the other person. You're receiving a lot of information. It could be a lot, and you want to ask questions and you want to know why, but just sitting there and listening, letting them get it all off their chest, and then you respond. But yeah, I think that's really cool, and I'm really proud of him and happy for him. However, on the other side of reality and celebrities, did you hear A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez are officially over, but want to remain friends?
I had not heard that. The A-Rod news I have been familiar with lately is that he purchased the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What? Now that's very interesting. I did not hear that in news. Wow, good for him.
You know when you break up and you go on a shopping spree, you do some retail therapy. A-Rod just bought a freaking sports organization.
That is crazy. Good for him. So now my question is he going to move to Minnesota?
Probably not. I mean, there's a lot of owners that have a stake in the team but don't actually live in that city. It's funny, there's a player on the Minnesota Timberwolves right now who is a pretty good player. He is just a natural athlete. He's so funny. And they asked him about A-Rod buying the team, and he was like, all I know is that like he's going to be like in charge of the team now. About him, I don't know much. I don't really know anything about baseball.
So that's interesting too, because on the flip side, you know, they've been dating for quite a while. They were engaged, which is a huge step. There's children they had children from separate relationships, which I'm sure the kids became, you know, close and everything. Is J-Lo going to come out with new music? Is this going to create a whole breakup? I know they want to remain friends, and you never know if that's just them saving face and just telling that to the media, press. I want to know if we're going to get some good music from this.
I would think she'll get in the studio. You see this a lot, most notably with Taylor Swift. Every breakup brings a new album. But I think, yeah, you just have more time. You have this creative like spirit and energy. You're thinking about a lot of things. So, I mean, I think she'll get back in the studio, but I don't think it'll be anything like any diss track or anything like that.
All right, well, I'm intrigued to see. Maybe there's some inspiration. I know she has a clothing line and things like that. So maybe there's a lot of creativity that could come out of this and pouring her heart and her energy into something. I'm very, very, very excited. Hopefully it's something good. Some good music to dance to, or something just to listen to. I'm very excited. But I think we should move on to our big discussion, our big topic this week, Andrea. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm all in it. We talked about some things recently where we all find ourselves in these situations, whether it be with parents, we talked about paying the other day, partner, coworker, things that come up typically. And something that's coming up and it happens every year is Earth Day.
Love it.
Earth Day is April 22nd. Lots of people like to get out, celebrate, maybe plant a tree. Mm-hmm. Lots of people post things about organizations that you can donate to that help save the oceans, help save the forest, help save animals. And that's really awesome. I love how involved this generation has really come with you know, trying to preserve the earth and recognizing that we have one planet, we might as well take care of it. The next generation is going to have to enjoy this same planet, so let's not kill it. What are some things that you do, I think, on a daily basis, and I think this will be interesting, that you feel make a difference in the world and to the earth?
That's a really good question, because this is something where it's like everyone knows, like, you know, reuse, reduce, and recycle, but there's so many different ways to do that and affect and be like effective in your day-to-day life. A big one that I've actually done is I have bought in reusable makeup wipes, and it sounds crazy, but it's like a cloth, and it's a microfiber cloth, and you just put a little water or whatever cleanser and you use it, and then you throw it in the washing machine, and it saves so much of the, you know, throwing away your different makeup wipes and things like that, or buying more, all of the packaging and things like that. So I think that's been a big one that I've really switched to, and I love the brand that I use, actually. So I got it in a pack of seven. So after a week, I just throw it in the wash, and then I get a brand new one, and I don't have to keep going to the store and wasting all of that, you know.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you if you have to wash it after every use, or if it's big enough that you can use one side and the next day flip it and use the other side.
It kind of just depends. So I have a couple. So I have one that's a big, long, like, oval shape, and you can use different sections of it. So I get, like, a couple days, right, here and there, depending on how much makeup I use or whatever I want to wash my face. And then I have ones that are little round ones, kind of, and you can use front and back. So it kind of just depends, but, like, it's nice that I can just wash them. They're machine washable. Do it when I wash all of my clothes, so it's cut down on water and things like that. And then the next week I just have it, or whenever I need more, there you go. I don't have to go to the store or worry about any of that. So that's a big one that I've been using. Of course, you know, reusable water bottles are so much nicer than, you know, having to buy a pack of water bottles and using the plastic. I've also done a lot of jars. A lot of the shops that I do get coffee and things like that, they let you take the reusable jars. So those are always good. We're actually both have jars on the table right now we're drinking water out of.
Yep.
So very nice. Another one too is I like to go visit the local farmer's market, especially with the weather being so nice. It's good to support, you know, other small businesses as well as people that are home growing a lot of their things or producing them in a economical way.
Yeah, there's surprisingly a lot of farmer's markets in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It seems like every day of the week you can, it's typically the same vendors, but every day of the week it seems like you can find a farmer's market in some area of the city, and it's pretty spread out. You can find one here on Thursday. Friday, there will be another one. Saturday, yeah,
Sunday's
there's
a big
the
day.
One in downtown Summerlin here in Las Vegas.
Yes, so those are always, that's always a good one. Another thing that I've recently got into is upcycling furniture. You don't normally think of that, but when I've moved around quite a bit, and like being able to sell my furniture, not that the money means really anything, but give it to someone who can maybe transform it into something else or use it for their house. Instead of going out and buying brand new stuff, you can go and see people have good stuff. It's in good condition. Why not, you know, use it and like trade or do something, or, you know, even if it's with like big refrigerators or dishwashers or things, or carpets, you know, like using that, being able to do that as opposed to buying brand new things, all the packaging that comes with it. You know, they have all, what do they call those, peanuts?
Yeah, and then the packing peanuts.
The packing peanuts are like the stuff that you used to run on when you were little and pop all the bubbles, the bubble wrap. So that's really cool. That's something that I've really gotten into. How about you? What are some things that you do that are sustainable and eco-friendly?
I'm also very big into thrifting. I think probably more than half of my wardrobe in high school was all from Savers or other thrift shops.
Good
and
stuff.
A lot of my friends, and something that's cool about when you do thrift and you go to different thrift shops is a lot of people ask you, like, where'd you get that?
Yes, I get that all the time.
Yeah, because it's a lot of unique things that a lot of people, you know, you don't find on, you know, these fast fashion websites as an example. I mean, there's Shein for sure.
Yes.
What are some other ones?
Like for brand new clothing?
Yeah, exactly. Fast fashion type stuff.
There's shoes. There's just so many. Like, you caught me off guard to get, you know, Fashion Nova is a big one.
Yeah, Fashion Nova.
I have
for
shopped
sure.
with Shein, and I actually, which is weird because I never know how to pronounce it. Me and my friend had this debate, which is kind of random, but is it Shein or Shein?
I say Shein for sure, and their stuff is extremely nice.
It is good
and
stuff.
And it's a lot of just neutral colors, things that go with lots of things. And I love their stuff, and I would say definitely check it out. It's affordable clothing. It's nice clothing. But on the flip side of that, when you go to a thrift shop, it's a lot of unique pieces that people haven't seen before. And when you talked about upcycling furniture, my couch, when I first moved into my house, I bought from someone else using Craigslist, the Nextdoor app, things of that nature.
OfferUp.
Exactly. I've spent the last year switching out all the appliances in my kitchen. I wanted to go to stainless steel, and I bought all of those off of websites such as the Nextdoor app, Craigslist, OfferUp. I actually just sold my old microwave yesterday.
Oh, awesome. On that Congratulations.
App. Thank you very much. So that's something that I've been big into for a while. But another thing in talking about my house is when I moved in, I switched all the light fixtures to more energy efficient, long lasting light bulbs.
That's energy efficient above us.
I think that's an area where you can buy cheap light bulbs for sure, but you switch them out a lot and it has more of an impact than you realize. It actually has, you know, a subtle impact on your bills as well.
Yes.
Things of that nature. So I've been real big on that and making sure, and this is something I got from my dad, turning off lights when I'm not in a room.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up, if I left a room and like my bedroom light was on, it's like, why is that light still on? Or like, why did you leave that light on? Like, you were gone all day. There was no reason for that light to be on. And it's such a simple thing to do. And you think, okay, what's it matter if I leave a light on?
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things like you heard the expression all your life, like every penny adds up.
Yes.
It's like every little thing adds up, because if every person is doing it, it's making such a drastic difference.
Well, you did mention too, and as we're here recording in our studio, there's a rack of clothes next to us. And that brings up a good point too, is not only thrifting, but instead, like, let's say like you have, and I do this a lot with a lot of my friends, you know, I have a bunch of clothes. I've worn them a lot. Not that they're in bad quality, but you know, you just get tired of clothes and like kind of having like your own thrift parties with your friends. So you all bring, you know, clothes that you're not necessarily wearing as much, and you swap and see what you would like. That's upcycling clothes. You're not paying for them, and you're all switching off, and then you're not buying more clothes. So that's another option for thrifting. You just do it with your friends, and it's kind of safe. You all go to a safe, common space, swap clothes. So it's another way to thrift, as I saw the clothes next.
That is cool. That's really fun. I've actually never thought of that idea, and I like that. Usually, if I just see one of my friend's clothes that I like, I just take it and don't let them know.
True.
Or it's like, hey, do you have a pair of swim trunks I can borrow? They give you a pair you like, and
they just
end up never getting them back. But it goes both ways. I know lots of friends that have stolen things from my closet, and I've taken things back. So
yeah,
we just don't do it on, I guess, as a fun of an event. We just do it on the low.
On the low key. Yeah, that's very interesting. Another one that I see that you written down is e-tickets, and that's super fascinating because I didn't even think about that, whether that's a plane ticket. We talked about this before, you know, a sporting event ticket or like really ticket to any entry is really, you don't think about that, but it's very eco-friendly.
Yeah, I mean, with the return to live sports, and that's really the thought that I had, when you buy tickets online, typically it'll give you an option. Do you want to print? Do you want to get it delivered on your phone via email?
Mm-hmm.
And I always select the electronic option just so that I have it right there, readily available.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, there's no reason for me to use this piece of paper, because as soon as I get in the event, I'm looking for the trash can to toss it, because I don't need it anymore. It is now this useless piece of paper that holds no value. And a lot of stadiums now do have recycling bins where you may be able to toss it. But for a long time, you just walked in, found the nearest trash can, and dumped it.
Well, that's actually interesting, because I saw a joke or a meme about this where we, you know, a couple years ago, probably 5 to 10 years ago, people would print out, you know, the MapQuest directions. And some kids or people that are in the younger generation don't realize, like, you literally had to print. I remember having to print out directions and hand them to my parents to go drive somewhere that we had never been. It doesn't Bluetooth it to your car, or your phone can't figure it out. And that's a big, like, eco-friendly thing where it's like you have pages of directions and stuff, or you'd write them down on a piece of paper, where now it's just at your fingertips. So that's the kind of flip side of the
I like that. I remember going to every birthday party
and
printing out. you'd be so excited to get the address. It was like such a big thing. You go online, print out the MapQuest.
Yeah, the Google Maps.
You feel so important. You're sitting in the passenger seat reading the directions.
Yes.
And you're like, oh shoot, how far is 600 feet? What does that mean?
Oh no, what's north and south? Like, which way do we go? So that's another eco-friendly thing, which some people have never experienced. Our generation clearly has. But yeah, that's another eco-friendly thing that definitely we can all do now. Not necessarily a couple years ago. But yeah, that's super interesting.
Yeah, another thing that I know a lot of people listening will probably be able to relate to is I've recently started using, and this is so that I don't have to spend money on batteries, but it is also because of the environmental impact of throwing batteries away in the trash can, is using rechargeable batteries or a rechargeable base when I play Xbox.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
Because that's something where when you use a controller, whether it be for your TV or to play Xbox, really anything that you're sticking two AA batteries into or AAA batteries, there are so many options to either get rechargeable batteries or, like I said, for my controller, it's a base where you put something on the back of your Xbox controller and I just have to set it there and now the controller's charged and I never have to buy batteries for my controllers ever again.
Oh, wow. That's super interesting. So is it the type of controller that you buy or you have to buy a different base to recharge it?
So you use the same controller, you buy the base and they give you these backs that you put on the controller. And then you just set them on the base and they charge. And whenever you're not using it, you can just put them on there. And it's also nice because now I permanently have a place to store my controllers. Before, sometimes, you know, they get left out. They're here or there. They're on the coffee table or you ran to the kitchen to get something and you leave you the controller in the kitchen. Now I store them there because that's the place where they're going to charge.
Wow, how fun. Well, that's exciting. That's really cool. I love that.
Yeah, and I think the last thing before we transition this into, conversation starters and being with a partner is the more you get out and hike or spend time outside, enjoy the surroundings around you, I think you have a more conscious awareness of, you know, wanting to take care of the environment and the earth. Would you agree with that?
100%. And I think it is kind of attractive when you see someone that is conscious, you know, of the area, the community of where you live, and someone that wants to take part in the future of our earth and our planet and things like that. Or someone who goes, hey, you want to go for a hike? Obviously not on the first date. If you meet someone, it's a blind date.
You don't think a hike is a good first date?
Unless it's like a very highly populated place, I think it could give a little creeper vibes, like you're taking me off into the middle of nowhere, you know, unless there's someone that's following close behind, which I have heard of that.
Yeah.
With binoculars or not, but I think if you're like dating someone and they want to go and do something or take a hike with their dog or be out in nature, I think that's really attractive to some people and it's fun and to be out in the fresh air and to just to like be in nature and in a different environment is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you hit it right on the head. I was just about to ask you if you find it attractive when someone is environmentally conscious, and I think it speaks to your personality that you're someone that cares about more than just yourself.
Yes.
I think when someone shows that they care about their surroundings, their environment, there's an awareness that, hey, there's so much more than just me. Like the people around me also enjoy this same space that I do. But on the flip side of that, do you think it can be unattractive if someone is too environmentally conscious? And let me explain my thought here to you. Say you're on a date.
Okay.
They bring the drinks out.
Okay.
And someone's like, oh, they gave me a straw? Like, I can't believe that. Like, do you know how many sea turtles are dying because of this? I have to use my metal straw. And they reach and get their metal straw out of their pocket or out of their bag. Or you go out for coffee and they give you the coffee in a plastic cup. And it's like, I can't believe how much plastic we use as a society. Like, there are definitely times where, like, people are so environmentally conscious that it could be overwhelming. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like that can be the case sometimes?
I think it can be. However, it kind of goes for, like, when you're planning. Like, if you're saying you're going on a date, like, and they are very eco-friendly, like, I would feel like they would pick a place that would be eco-friendly. So if they're just picking a place and they didn't realize this place isn't, like, eco-friendly, it's kind of like on them to an extent where it's like, okay, get it, but, like, you can't force it upon everybody, and every, you know, restaurant or business operates differently. You can educate people, but if you're nice and the way, like, their attitude towards it, I think can be the way of, like, how you decipher that. So, like, the way you described it in the first situation, you were kind of rude, and I would kind of be turned off in a way. It's like, okay, I understand, like, everyone believes in certain things and that we all should be eco-friendly to our planet. However, maybe you can show them or say, hey, like, you know, this is a company that offers, you know, restaurants paper straws. Here's a card or here's the information. Maybe you could go follow them, as opposed to being rude and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you would ever have a plastic thing. You know, and educating people and maybe offering them your two cents and what you've learned, I think that's a really good thing. But if they're not, if they're polite about it, I understand that. But if they're rude and they have an attitude, like, everyone's learning, everyone's trying to find their way to help the earth and their planet. So I think it's a healthy balance of it. The second situation, I think you were a little bit nicer. Your attitude wasn't as, like, snarky. So it kind of depends on the situation, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I think with any conversation, any topic, not just when we talk about the earth and being eco-friendly, it's important to just have some composure, try to understand. And if it's something you disagree with, try and understand where someone is coming from.
Yes.
Learn why they feel that way, and then gracefully and tactfully explain why you feel the way that you do. There's definitely ways to handle that situation, but sometimes people get so impassioned and so fired up that something that shouldn't be an issue gets taken out of context and blows up to more of an issue than it should be.
And then at the end of the day too, sometimes you're just going to agree to disagree, and to know that everyone's entitled to their own opinion and everything, and agree to disagree and politely, you know, you don't have to see them again. If it's that big of an issue, agree to disagree and walk away and say, you know what, thank you for educating me and giving me your perspective. That's amazing, but I have something different. And then that's that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think these are really important conversations to have with your friends, your family,
mm-hmm.
things that they like to do, things that you like to do, give each other new creative ideas on how to be more eco-friendly, how to take care of the planet. Like we talked about the e-tickets, that was just something that you hadn't thought about until we talked about it. There's definitely a lot of things where you can feed off of what somebody else says and give each other new ideas. The thrift shop clothing party with your friends, I love that idea. And honestly, I think a thrift shop, and I want to ask you a question here, or a consignment shop, is a good date at some point in your relationship, because you never know what you're going to find. And that's the fun in it. You find a funny shirt that you both look at and laugh, or you look at the art pieces and you're like, oh my goodness, how did this end up here? Or you're like, oh my gosh, someone had this in their house. Like, there's definitely a lot of jokes that can be made and a lot of unique creative things you find. Would you agree that that can be a fun thing to do together?
Oh, definitely could be a good date option. I know I've found Halloween costumes from there. Not only that, like, you can do, like, a date. Okay, we're gonna go here. Let's pick out each other's outfits at a thrift store, which would be really fun and creative and get you guys doing something different.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Well, Earth Day coming up on the 22nd. Make sure to get out, go on a hike. Make sure to turn off the lights in your house before you leave. Maybe hit the thrift shop. Lots of different options that you can do to stay eco-friendly.
And definitely share with us. Tell us different ideas that maybe we didn't share with you, and give us different types, and with this community that we've created. Let us know what you guys are doing for Earth Day. We'd love to see it, and we'll definitely repost it and share with our followers.
Absolutely. And now we move on to our free play segment, a segment that we thoroughly enjoy. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback about. A lot of people like listening. Last week we did the hot takes during our free play segment. This is named after the free play in football, when someone jumps off sides, playing on the name of our show. And basically what this is an open platform where we can ask each other any questions we want. They can be as wild and outlandish as you want them to be. They can be about any topic. So I'll let you go ahead and kick it off and put me on the hot seat first.
Okay, my first question, I love it. So, if you were to get a dog, what kind of dog would you get and what would you name it?
This is a very timely question because I have actually been looking at adopting some dogs lately.
Ooh.
One dog that I first considered adopting was a Jack Russell Terrier.
Okay.
And he was extremely cute, and I've been telling people for a long time that I was going to get ducks as a pet. It's kind of been this running joke that I want a duck so that when I call its name, you think a dog's going to come running out and it's just a duck flopping around the floor.
Oh, that's
running
funny.
Running out to you. So I was going to name this Jack Russell Terrier. His name was Jack with the rescue organization. I was going to name him Quack. So that when I told all my friends, like, hey, I finally did it. Like, I got a pet. And they're going to be like, oh, you got the ducks? Yeah, I got Quack. You'll have to come meet him. And then it would actually be a dog. The flip of what I had all been telling them. And then I was like, oh, there's so many jokes. Instead of a Jack Russell Terrier, he's a Quack Russell Terrier.
Oh,
or
that's funny.
He likes to hang out in the backyard. No, that's the quack yard. He's acting a little crazy, like, hey, why are you acting like a quackhead? But there was so many jokes there. But I think, realistically, if I was getting a dog, I would want a lab, any color.
A bigger dog.
A lab or a golden retriever.
Okay. And then do you have any other names other than Quack?
Other than Quack, I mean, I think I don't have a name right off the top of my head because I like to, you know, get a feel for their personality, things of that nature. We had one dog growing up that she would follow the other dog. The first time she came to our house, she would just follow the other dog, do whatever the other dog did, and we named her Shadow.
We had a dog named Shadow, too.
So I think it really depends on meeting them and their personality, but I know a lab or golden retriever is the way that I would go.
Well, that's very interesting. I love that. All right, I'm going to throw in one more question. So, your life is up in the air. You can move to any state here in the United States. What state would you live in? What city in that state would you live in and why? And it cannot be currently where you're living.
Okay, that's also a good question because other than the time that I spent at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, I have lived in Las Vegas my whole life. I was born and raised here. As we've talked about before, I've been to a couple different states.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, I would choose Colorado.
Ooh, not too far. Okay. I think
that's a state that I would like to live in. It's still kind of, you know, near the West Coast. I'm definitely a West Coast person. I think they've got a lot of great outdoor activities. The snow kind of is a point that I'm not sold on. I love snowboarding. I love hanging out in the snow, but I don't know if I would like living in the snow.
But it's not full year. It's not like year round.
True. That's very true, but it can get pretty harsh.
Okay.
So that's my realistic answer. My little bit more unrealistic answer is Hermosa Beach, California. That is the number one place I would want to live.
That is very like specific. Why Hermosa Beach?
I spent a lot of time in Hermosa growing up. It's a place that my family went to a lot, and it just, when I'm there, like, I just feel an extreme sense of, yes, the peace, calmness. I just really love the surrounding town, the restaurants. I've really gotten to know the area and what I'm comfortable with, places I like, small places that people might not know of. So Hermosa Beach is the place that I'm going.
Well, that's very interesting. I loved that. That was great to hear.
Yeah, so now I'm going to throw you a couple, and this is a popular question, and I think it's a cool question to ask. Both questions that you asked me are great to ask on a first date or when you first meet some coworkers, get to know someone a little bit. But who would be your dream dinner guest?
Ooh, dinner guest. Like, if I had a dinner at my house, dream dinner guest. That's a quality question. I want someone who's well-rounded, so it's not just in one specific field, I think. Someone who could give me some insight, I think would be super interesting. Okay, so I'm going to say, like, I'm having, like, an elaborate dinner party, a private chef, you know, I hired waiters and waitresses to help serve and to help clean so I can just entertain my guests. I would say, you know, I would say Rihanna.
Really? That is not the answer I would have guessed.
Really?
I'm excited to hear your explanation.
And I would think she's very well-rounded. She's an actress. She's a singer. She's an entrepreneur. And she's very well-rounded in, like, so many different realms of, like, not the world, but, like, she's just got a lot going for her. And I would love to pick her brain. and to see how she's done and been so successful in her career in so many different outlets. So I feel like it would be very interesting to have a dinner with her. I know her makeup's going to look flawless. I know her outfit's going to be absolutely stunning. And like maybe she'll bring some of her Fenty Savage lingerie as a gift. I wouldn't say no, but I think that would be a very interesting person. I've always looked up to her, and I think that she's a very interesting person. She's been through a lot, and she's grown so much than just being an artist, a recording artist. So that would be my pick.
That's cool. I think you would clearly have a lot to talk to her about, and
who are you going
to
say?
You guys would have a nice dinner. I don't know who I would think you would pick. I mean, I know you love Ariana Grande.
I did think about that, yes.
I know there's other... We talked about the female mogul who created Bumble, things of that nature. Like, I could see you being intrigued talking to someone like that.
Yeah.
And along similar lines, but someone that you would probably pick a very different person, although I've seen Rihanna get down, is who would you most want to go out to a bar with?
Like as a date or just like as a friend?
Just like you guys are going out to have a good time. Like, for example, I would love to go to a bar with Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh, that would be a good one. That would be a real good question. Oh my gosh. Who was it? Okay, so I used to love this show, and I don't know if they still do it, and I can't think of the name, but what they would do is they pick two like celebrities or people, high profile people in Hollywood or whatever, and they have to create their own raps, and there's someone that the beatboxes, and then they basically roast each other in a rap. And it was Rob Gronkowski and Gina, she's from Jane the Virgin. It was so funny because they had such a good chemistry. And she was so funny because she's so tiny and she's fiery and she's sarcastic. And I feel like she would be so much fun to go out to a bar with. And I've seen her interact with Rob Gronkowski, which is even funnier. So I feel like I would definitely take her. She's a good time. I'm sure she likes to have a few drinks or so. She loves to dance. So, you know, that would be my pick. I don't know if you've all seen Jane the Virgin. It's absolutely hysterical. It's on Netflix. I cried when it ended. It was so good. Lots of plots and twists and things like that. But I think I would go with Gina Rodriguez. That's my final answer.
I think that's a good answer. It sounds like based on the rap battle, we would have a real good time if me and Rob met up with you and Gina out at the bar.
You know what? I would love to do a rap. Maybe it's called Rap Battle, but it's a quality show. If you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. I would watch them all the time. Sometimes in college, we would just be bored and like, let's see who's spitting some good fire and some good games.
That's awesome. Well, this was a great episode. We talked about a lot of great things, and I love your answers there. So make sure to share with us things that you want us to talk about, maybe some things that you like to do to celebrate Earth Day. Find us on Instagram. There's a quick little snippet and video of us trying the hot sauce from last week.
Yes.
So make sure you don't miss that.
You can find all of our episodes wherever you can stream podcasts, whether that be Spotify, Apple, Pandora, wherever you like to listen. Take us on a tour of everything that we've been through with all of our episodes. We'd love to hear your thoughts and how our conversations and topics helped you in a situation. Let us know, and we're so excited to see you on the next episode. I am Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we'll see you next time on the Offsides Podcast.